This show is sponsored by the Crummy Cookie Dough Company, top-notch humans making top-notch edible cookie dough. Warning, listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to I Am Everything with your host, Cheyenne Atown.
All right, so for people who don't know who are you?
My name is Joshua Finley, aka Kamikachi Juice.
And where did that name come from, Kamikachi Juice?
Yeah, so it's a really good question. A lot of people always ask me that. Kamikachi is my brand, right? And my nickname growing up was always Juice when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
From when I was like 5 or 6 years old, all my cousins and friends used to call me Juice and kids in the neighborhood. So when we started our brand, I was about 14. I just put the Kamikachi in front of my name because I knew that it would be a way to brand my business.
Right.
Changing my name, Kamikachi Juice.
I think that's I think it's pretty original. I never heard of a nickname like that before.
Yeah. So it's a word that my brother and I created.
Right.
The word Kamikachi. We created it and created a meaning.
Yeah.
And then used it as our brand.
What was that thing back in the 90s? Was it it sounded like Kamikachi, but it was like those.
Yeah, the Tamagotchi.
Yeah. That's your rival right there.
Yeah, the Tamagotchi.
Yeah.
I've had people call me that. I've had people call me Kamikaze. I'm like, ooh. No. It's Kamikachi. Come on.
Yeah, copywritten.
Yeah.
I guess we'll give people background. And, you know, obviously I know myself, but, you know, before COVID, you were in the promoting world, and you know, as everything has changed, talk about what got you into that world initially.
My life. I feel like growing up, I always wanted to be, you know, like some people want to be in the limelight, some people want to be behind the scenes. Like,
yeah.
When I was like about 13, 14, I always wanted to be in the limelight. Like I used to love like watching like rap videos, like, you know, like P. Diddy and Mace.
Right.
And like Jay-Z.
Yeah.
And Biggie and Tupac. And just the way like these guys and like Lil Wayne and stuff like that. And I remember like watching how they were like in front of the cameras, and I used to watch like MTV Cribs.
Yeah,
you know,
classic.
When the rappers used to show like what's inside their fridge and how many sneakers they have, and I was like, I used to like pretend to be those guys.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I enjoyed the fact that like everybody knew them and wanted to be around them.
Yeah.
I just had to figure out what I would be most known for,
right,
within my city. And I remembered like when we started our brand, that was how a lot of people started to know me and meet me, and my name just started getting bigger and bigger and bigger to that, with a point where I was 19, the next best thing for me to do, I was like, I'm going to start promoting parties.
Right.
Yeah. I'm like, I've already established my name, my brand now for about, at that time, it was like 5 years.
Yeah.
And I was like, the next best thing for me to do is party and throw parties. But like, I remembered when I just started going to the clubs, I didn't know how it worked yet. So I went a few times just to kind of understand the difference between promoter and, I guess, consumer.
Right.
But I wanted to be on the promoter side.
Yeah. So. And that's like, that's a process of its own too. Like for me, when I moved to Toronto, I didn't know how that worked. And it's like, it's kind of intense when you think about it. It's like, okay, you get unlimited alcohol. It sounds amazing, but it's not as it sounds, right?
Yeah. Just quickly about that, I remember when I first started promoting, I didn't know, to be honest, I didn't know there was money to be made in the club scene. A lot of the club owners used to kind of, not kind of, they hustled me.
Right.
They used me when I was like 19 till about 22, 23. Honestly, I used to promote for free alcohol. I thought that free alcohol and getting my friends in the club was what people did it for, until I got a little older and I started surrounding myself with, you know, kind of certain mentors and people in my life that were like, dude, you can make money off of this.
Right.
Promoting. You're so good at it.
Right.
That's when I put my foot down and started to kind of demand income and started to make money instead of free bottles. But then, you know, as time went on, I kind of got both the free bottles and the income. But
right. Yeah. I mean, that's it. I guess I could see how you missed the, how you just thought it was all is free alcohol. And they're like, no,
you they have, don't tell you. Yeah, they're like, you want to promote for us? Sure. Bring 20 friends. We'll give you a bottle.
Yeah.
Do it every night.
Yeah. And you started back in probably what, like 2000, in the early 2000s, like 2005, 2006. And
all. Yeah.
Well, how would you describe the scene back then? Because I know you always rep that music scene still to this day. What was that music scene like back for you?
It was honestly the best. It was like when you watch clubs in the movies,
where
people are dancing and people are having fun and, you know, the lights, camera, action, like, you know, like A Night at the Roxbury type of a scene I'm trying to paint for the audience right now.
Right.
Like you actually went there, you dressed up nice, you put on your best attire, you packed four or five friends in a car and like, or van or whoever has a car. You're like 19, 20 years old. You pull up to the club, huge lineup all the way down the street. Like, you walk in there, all kinds of music, all kinds of people. Like, it was so different.
Yeah.
And then kind of just before COVID, the way the club scene was.
Yeah.
Just more like, you know, standing around.
Yeah.
Popping bottles, guys hiding in dark corners. Nobody wants pictures anymore. Like, everybody doesn't want cameras in their face.
Mm.
You know, people aren't allowed to be there. They're not supposed to be there. This guy can't talk to this guy. And it's just so much like, the fun of the club scene has changed.
It's become, I mean, it's probably not the correct word, but it's become like monopolized in a sense of like, it's too glitz and glammy and not enough. Oh. Like, you know, they forget. And I assume that when you started promoting back then, there was probably way more, like a lot of clubs.
Yeah.
Than now, well, not now, but you know, before COVID, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's so many selections.
There was many, like downtown Toronto, there were so many different club areas. Like, we actually had a club district. Like, we had like, and in the district was like probably 30 nightclubs, and they're all massive, like 1,500 to 1,000 people. There was like, you know, places like the Government where you can hold up to 3,000 people. There were so many options. And then by the time like 2014, 2015, they kind of bulldozed down the club district, turned it into condos, and it forced everybody to go into these small lounges.
Yeah.
Queen Street, King West, you know, and it just never truly got back to what it used to be, as much as some of us tried. Never really got back to what it once was.
I was never actually, I visited Toronto before I moved, and I was almost going to go to Government, but I missed out on that. But I heard that was like an amazing club.
Yeah, Government was insane. That was an era. I threw a couple of my birthday parties there, like 2007 till about 2012. Probably some of the most epic club stories I've ever had all happened and took place at Government. That's kind of like, just to, again, to paint a picture for you, like picture like 1,000 to 3,000 people every Friday, Saturday.
That's crazy.
For as long as it was open. And they had about probably six or seven different rooms that you can go into, and each room had a different vibe.
That's crazy. Crowd.
Yeah, like you can go like jungle, reggae, rap. Each room was different depending on what you wanted to listen to, all under one roof.
Right. Yeah, I missed out on that one, because you know, the clubs that I clubs that there were, like you said, they're lounge, smaller ones. I mean, I would say the one closest to that is probably Rebel, but I'm not sure how similar that was to Government.
Yeah, well, yeah, Rebel was the modernized version of Government. It was owned by the same owners, but I went there a couple, many times. It just wasn't, it'll just never be the same. Like so many things changed, especially with social media and like people having cell phones and everybody's trying to be the cool person versus like back then with Government. And this is only like, I keep saying back then, but it's like less than 10 years ago.
I know. Yeah. It's crazy how time is like, you look back at it and it feels like it's been like years and years and years, but it's, you know, hasn't been that long.
Yeah, it's less than 10 years ago. Yeah. So I don't want to sound like I'm a 60-year-old man here.
Yeah.
Like, it changed so fast.
The first time I met you actually was at a very great party that hopefully comes back in the future, the brunch. One of my favorite, because of that event, I like actually stopped drinking. I was like, you know, that event kind of taught me, okay, you know, it's time to put it away. Because it's to like, you know, like you're saying, painting a picture, to like paint a picture for someone's like, you have a brunch. It's not just your typical brunch. You go, you're leaving at like 4 or 5 PM and you're like, just trash. You're just absolutely trashed. And you ran that event with other promoters and, you know, it went through different clubs throughout the years that it developed. Talk about like what that event meant to you and if you ever see it coming back.
Yeah, honestly, and I probably promoted, over 15 years. Le Brunch was one, like in my top 2-3 events, like for many things, like most fun, most successful event. And not even just money-wise, like just like the impact. Mm. It was more like a cultural impact that it had on Toronto, because Le Brunch was the first of its kind, like in Toronto, like brunch and day party. And then after a few years, many people tried to mimic and recreate their own version and call it different things. And it never quite popped off the way Le Brunch popped off. Like, you know, for people listening, like what it was a brunch from basically noon to 3 p.m. where you actually have like a 3-course prefixed menu brunch. And then around 3 p.m. to about 6, it was the day party. However, that party never ended at 6 because it was just so popping that 9 times out of 10, the venue we had it at the time, Brzai, the patio was so crazy. There'd be like 500 people out on the patio and the party would just go right till 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night until like eventually they just had to stop playing music. But it was such a crazy party. Yeah. And you know, then we moved it over to Lavelle because Brzai ended up closing down their kitchen to do renovations. We moved it to Lavelle. We had about a year, just about a year actually at Lavelle, and then COVID hit. We were heading into our second summer, which would have been coming up now, I guess. Yeah, we had about one full year and then it just ended so abruptly. And that honestly, that was one party that I planned to be a part of probably for as long as I physically could.
I can see
myself doing that for many, 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 many more years.
Yeah, it definitely was different from any other event, right? Because you mentioned there was the brunch portion and then like the drinking portion, but it just was like when I explained it to people, they don't understand, but I was like, no, like it's like day out, so they close the blinds, like shut the lights off, and then you walk out and the sun's still up. You're like, oh man, I'm so drunk. It's like 5 p.m. How's that possible? What did you think, like in terms of the Brzai version and then the Lavelle version?
So the Brzai version was, they would close the blinds. It would kind of be like a nightclub.
Yeah.
In broad daylight, you go outside, the sun's out. Lavelle was more of an indoor outdoor vibe, surrounded by a pool or three pools, cabanas outside. It was more like you picture like you're partying in like Miami, Vegas style of a party. Whereas Brzai was like, it's like messing with your mind, because like it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon or like 3 o'clock and all of a sudden it's pitch black. I think it made people drink more.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, because the vibe at Brazai was like super turn up, like people standing on tables, like girls all over the tables, bottles spraying everywhere, whereas Lavelle, bottles were being popped, but it was a more of a sophisticated type of a vibe Lavelle than it was at Brazai. The same amount of people, but just the vibe was a little bit different. Mainly, I think, because, you know, you can still see everybody, whereas Brazai, it was like worker, so.
Yeah, I feel like I feel like every time I went to La Brunch, I like killed at least 4 or 5 bottles of vodka. It's absolute nonsense.
Yeah, we all did.
Yeah.
We all definitely did.
We're going to talk about your brand and what it, you know, what you do within your brand, Komakachi. But first, you get to pick the song. So okay. What's your first song you'd like it to be?
Let's do the new Drake single. I know he just came out with 3. Yeah, we can go What's Next, because I feel like any one of those 3 songs that he just dropped is really crazy. Drake. Hey. Whoa. Hey. Hey.
Yeah. I'm making a change today. The liquor been taking the pain away. I heard you was giving your chain away. That's kind of like giving your fame away. What's wrong with you? I sit in a box where the owners do. A boss is a role that I've grown into. I love you to death, but I told you the truth. I can't just be with you, I'm only you. Yeah, I got one Virgil, got one in that day, it's the only 2. Man, how many times have I shown and proved? Man, how many nights I've been woke, swerving the potholes, not trying to fuck up the wheels on the road, okay? Funny how life goes, he thought he was sick, now we wiping his nose, okay? Soon as you give him your soul, you blow up and they say you're selling your soul, okay? They want my life exposed, they want to know about the highs and lows. Well, summer all I did was rest, okay? And New Year's all I did was stretch, okay? And Valentine's Day I had sex, okay? We'll see what's about to happen next, okay? Okay, okay, we'll see what's about to happen next, okay? Okay, okay, we'll see what's about to happen. Hey, hey, we'll see what's about to happen. Hey, we'll see what's about to happen. I'm making a change today. The liquor been taking the pain away. I heard you was giving your chain away. That's kind of like giving your fame away. What's wrong with you? I sit in a box where the owners do. A boss is a role that I've grown into. I love you to death, but I told you the truth. Yeah, I got one lawyer, got one in that day, the only 2. Man, how many times have I told you the truth? Man, how many nights I've been woke, swerving them potholes, not trying to fuck up the wheels or fuck up the deals. I'm posted in Stockholm, it's me, the Owls, and the Twins, it's only the real. I'm moving way too humble, Weezy and handed it off, I still got no fumbles. I'm on a hot 100, numero uno, this one ain't come with a bundle. I'm in the win, 1 million in chocolate chips, and that's just how my cookie crumble. I put a skirt on a whip and a crown on a 6, but there's no need to dress up the numbers, ayy. Hey, yeah, but I guess they must have their reasons. They wanna know how I'm living my day-to-day life in the regular season. Well, summer all I did was rest, okay? And New Year's all I did was stretch, okay? And Valentine's Day I had sex, okay? We'll see what's about to happen next, okay? Okay, okay, we'll see what's about to happen next, okay? Okay, okay, we'll see what's about to happen. Hey, hey, we'll see what's about to happen. Hey, we'll see what's about to happen. I'm making a change today. The liquor been taking the pain away. I heard you was giving your chain away. That's kind of like giving your fame away. What's wrong with you? I sit in a box where the owners do. A boss is a role that I've grown into. I love you to death, but I told you the truth. All right, we're back with Joshua Finley. And that was the new Drake. What's Next? Before we go on to what's next for you, as the world is going through their new period, as people call it, the Great Reset. So your brand, Komakachi Juice, you know, it's not just a promoting lifestyle brand, but there's more to it. You have the clothing, talk about how your brand came to be. Besides the name, you know, we touched on the name, how the brand came to be and what you're doing with the brand.
Okay, so first of all, Komakachi means recapturing the essence of life.
Yeah.
So when it started back in 2001, there was the internet, but the internet was not what it is today. So like in means of promotions, marketing, there wasn't digital marketing, there wasn't social media apps, there wasn't Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, there wasn't any of those things. So what we did was we built a strong foundation by building a strong team. And my brother's 4 years older than me. He's the CEO, I'm the co-owner. So he's the one that sparked the idea, and then we came together and just built it together. And what we did was we tried to get guys and girls to join our team and believe in this dream that we're going to create a brand that is going to be larger than life for many of us. So when we first started it, we started printing t-shirts, and our means of hustling was like street hustle. Like we would print t-shirts and we would put them in our backpacks, and we would take the school bus to the malls, and we print little flyers and posters and put them up everywhere we could to just let where we grew up in Mississauga to let the world know that there's a new brand in town. And we were just trying to get people to support it, and not only support it, but join us.
Right.
So we were like, we're going to be an army. And the thing was, we were trying to recruit people that were positive and like-minded individuals. So like people who want to become entrepreneurs, people who want to become hustlers, but in a good way, people who want to do better things with their spare time and join them. We treated it like a movement. Join our movement, you know, make money at the same time and learn business and how to operate in a business. Because we were always like, we always wanted to be young entrepreneurs, even from that age, because we knew that we weren't planning to work regular 9-to-5 jobs.
And like, I know now in Toronto, you probably every second person you meet is an entrepreneur of some type, but you did before. It was a trend, you know?
Yeah. We definitely were doing it at a time when it wasn't as popular to even think like it, because I remember being in grade 9 and in grade 10, and this is like in 2001, 2002, and I used to tell my teachers that I'm going to be a successful entrepreneur. And I used to try to study entrepreneurs, but this was even without YouTube and with any of those things. Like I used to like get magazines and read on Jay-Z and P. Diddy, because I liked how they had, like, they were rappers, and then they had clothing lines, and then they had, you know, shoe companies, and then they had alcohol brands, and then they had water companies. And I was like, I love the structure of creating a business and having multiple business branch offs all under one, you know, roof, under one umbrella. Yeah. So I was always trying to do the same thing. By the time I was 16, 17, I used to set goals that I'm going to have my own water one day. I'm going to have my own shoe brand. I'm going to have my own clothing, I'm going to branch off the clothing and have a different type of clothing. I'm going to have my own management company. And I used to talk like this, and it's even written in my yearbook when I graduated in 2004, that these were some of my goals that I plan on achieving.
That's crazy, because I don't think I've ever met anyone who wanted to have their own water. You know?
Yeah, my own water company, my own. I was just like anything and everything.
Who are some notable names to admit to being a fan of the brand, like wearing the brand and all that?
I feel like I would love to say everybody. It was like at one point in the mid 2000s, there was a lot of up and coming artists and very popular people in Toronto, like that are now extremely popular, that were around us and that were wearing the brand, that were taking photos with us in videos, coming to our fashion shows, we used to do talent shows. I mean, like, for example, Drake's producer, Boy Wonder, we no longer have the photos, but the very first photo shoot he ever did to brand himself as a beat producer, and this was back in maybe 2003, 2004, we did a Kamikaze photo shoot with him, where we went to his house and we supplied him with the clothes and took photos of him for our website. It's just unfortunate we never kept, like, we don't have those images. They're probably on like discs that ended up thrown out eventually. But I mean, when I bump into him, I'm like, yeah, I remember the photo shoot we did, like, and he can remember it. And there's like certain people, you know, again, Tory Lanez, for example, when he first started to promote himself as a rapper back in 2009, and 8, he used to come around, hang around me at nightclubs. Not say hang around me, but like I would see him and we would talk, and he would promote my brand and I would promote him. He would promote Kamikaze in photos, and then I would promote Tory Lanez, this new artist. telling people by word of mouth that this guy's about to be the hottest new thing in Toronto, just wait on it. And like probably a lot longer than 4 years later, 9 years later or so, he was signed as an artist. It took some time, you know? Yeah.
And do some of these artists like still keep in touch with you and vice versa?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Through social media. I still speak with a lot of these artists, like, or when they see me posting, you know, they show love, whether it's through DMs, even just a comment, like a heart, whatever. There is a lot of artists that still, I feel like it's just a respect thing. They know, and it's not even just artists. It's even a lot of like, just like extremely well-known people from the city. That know the brand and remember the brand, especially remember like at one point in time, I was assisting them with their marketing and vice versa. Like we used to just do like cross promoting. I give you some free t-shirts, you wear it on stage, wear it at a freestyle battle. And in exchange, I will, through word of mouth, because this was an era with no internet, let people know who you are. The different rappers like JD Era, there's photos of us with Drake in like 07, where we're in Hamilton wearing Kamikaze, his trainer Johnny Rocks, our clothes, and we promote for him because at the time he was also an up-and-coming rapper. Some of the Diplomats, J.R. Ryder, Joel Santana, Jim Jones, and this is like 2009, 2008, when like the Diplomats were like at their peak. We have photos of us with them, Lupe Fiasco, like there was Talib Kweli. There's so many rappers that are just coming off the top of my head that I remembered we had wearing our brand. A lot of big DJs, DJ Envy, which is from The Breakfast Club. And I'm just coming off the top of my head as I'm thinking about it, that we had wearing our clothes and like,
that's crazy. That's actually crazy.
A lot of promoting.
It's actually fascinating. Like Drake's come up is very interesting because, you know, when I was younger and it's kind of changed now with like having a record label and all that. But when I was younger, I wanted to have my own record label. And now I was getting into like managing artists before COVID happened. But, you know, why I initially got into this idea was there's a couple bands that I used to listen to that I was like, this band is going to blow up. No one believed me. Drake was one of them. I was like, Drake's gonna get really big. And people are like, he's not. He's from Degrassi. I was like, all right. This was like when his mixtape was on his website or whatever. I was like, all right. And, that's, you know, so now look, now Drake's like, and I always found that fascinating for like Toronto. Cause like before Drake, you know, you had, and I don't want to butcher any names. So you probably know who came before Drake, right? Like the OGs of Toronto rap scene. But then when Drake made it, do you think that kind of made Toronto in a different light?
Oh, definitely. I think it's all about timing. Like pre Drake was pre internet. There was so many rappers back in the 90s, early mid 2000s. They just didn't have the exposure that was available because these guys were like tapes, CDs, records, posters. Like it was a different era for music in general. And then when Drake was coming up, you know, rappers started having websites. There was MySpace. There was like these video chat rooms that started to come out, Forest Room and stuff, that people were just becoming popular and just ways to promote your music and get your music across so many different channels and incredible talent. But like the timing of his career is just incredible. He was able to spread his voice across the world faster. You know, when I was like 7 years old listening to rappers, it was like only on the radio.
And we're just gonna go into a different path here for a sec. You know, a lot of businesses has been closing down, and you know, I heard that the Ontario government kind of wants to make Toronto like a retirement home type of thing and kind of change. It's like very bizarre to me, but how have you been managing COVID, and you know, especially with, you know, a newborn, and how does that, like, what was that like for you? I guess it's still ongoing, but.
Yeah, well, to be honest, like the first week, maybe 2 weeks max, I was like, oh, this is crazy. What am I gonna do? Life is over. No more partying, no more clubbing, this, that, and the third. I'm like Uber Eatsing every night. And then like 2 weeks later, I had to like slap myself in the face and just be like, get over it. Like everything happens for a reason. There's a reason why this happened. And let's be the hustler that you are and freaking just grind differently and just like push forward, bulldoze through all the obstacles. Like these are just obstacles. Like, to be honest, like right when it happened, I was promoting pretty much full-time, like right. as a full-time source of income. Like I was doing so many different parties, events, concerts, monthly parties. I was just gearing up. Like I had already planned like 2 summer boat cruise parties that I had just put down like deposits for. I was planning my birthday party that I had just paid for, like the, like I paid for like my advertising and sponsored ads all over all these channels. And then like COVID hit, lost a bunch of money. But like so did everybody. So many people went. Whereas like a couple weeks later, I had to tell myself like, boo-hoo, toughen up, put a Band-Aid on it and just move forward. I changed my, I shifted gears to my and grind. Like I always wanted to do more public speaking. Okay, so what I was like, okay, I can't do public speaking. What am I gonna do? Let me get on YouTube and start friggin' shooting videos, talking in front of the camera and speaking about, you know, motivating things, like motivating people and health and fitness and things that are passionate to me. And then I started doing it just when COVID hit and I started becoming more consistent with YouTube. And I started really shooting and getting better and working on my craft, like speaking in front of a camera, you'll know is not easy as it sounds. You stumble on your words.
Right.
All of a sudden you don't know how to formulate sentences when you know people are gonna watch it. So I jumped on YouTube and it started becoming good for me. I started focusing on my brand a lot more, like the Kamikachi brand, our signs. I put out a bunch of different shirts and things that I released at the time in March through the summer. Did a couple like drops that was cool, had a great feedback. Like it allowed me to just shift gears and realize that like, I guess the path that I was on, which is like the club scene, clearly living in Toronto, we were for some reason, one of the last cities that is opening up their nightlife. Everywhere else seems to be open, but yeah. Toronto.
Yeah, I mean, and you definitely adapted to the change, which I think at the end of the day, if one doesn't adapt to the change, there's no hope for them. You know, it's been enough time to give someone a chance to be like, okay, you, what do you want to do now, right? It's been, you know, a year. There are people who gained quarantine weight and then lost weight and then gained it again, right? So it's like you had enough time to lose and gain and lose weight, you know? So it's cool that you adapted to it. Because I know, I feel like there's, I don't know what the majority is, but I wonder if a lot of people in Toronto who were promoters are kind of scrambling to, oh, what's next, you know?
Honestly, I wonder myself all the time. I only can think about like whatever I see on Instagram. I've seen a lot of them, like some of them started their own businesses or like are just doing other different avenues.
But then
some of them have just like gone MIA. Like I have no clue. And these are people I used to see daily on Instagram or daily on my Facebook feed or Twitter or whatever, like on WhatsApp, sending out messages. Like some people are just, I don't know what they're doing, where they are. And then some people have just elevated so much.
I think it's one of those things that they probably didn't save their money and they just thought, oh, like I'm gonna promote. Cause I think I could see it. Like if they were promoting all the time, why would they need to save their money? Right. But they didn't register like this is not going to be happening all the time. So then they, you know, they probably have that expensive condo, the expensive car, and now they're vanished, you know? So it definitely was interesting. I hope a lot of people took time and kind of reestablished who they were as a person. And you know, we'll touch on you being a, because eventually I'll have to go down that road, so I'll need some advice, tips and all that. So second song, what would you like it to be?
One of my favorite rappers, RIP Pop Smoke. We gotta do a Pop Smoke song. You know, we can just do Welcome to the Party.
Big tune.
You gotta do Pop Smoke. R.I.P. Pop Smoke.
Baby, welcome to the party. I'm off the Myers and the lean. That's why I'm over retarded.
That's why I'm over retarded.
Baby, welcome to the party. I hit the boy up and then I go skate in a Rari. Baby, welcome to the party. Pick some of that. Give me lit. Gun on my head. One in the head. Send in a clip. Baby, don't trip. Just lower your tone. Cause you could get hit. Don't let the alley in my system. I get your body. Next day I forget it. Nigga, try just call the body. And listen again. Nigga, I was just with him. Villain niggas or my killing niggas at the kings. Since a younger nigga, I've been drilling niggas, but I'm so stuck up in my ways. Ain't nobody ever gave me shit with this big chip, I had to get paid. And it's 10K to go and stay. And you know the streets getting laid. Baby, welcome to the party. I'm off the mic and Zane the lead. That's why I'm over retarded. Baby, welcome to the party. I hit the boy up and then I go skating a Rari. Baby, welcome to the party. Bitch, I'm a thot. Give me lit. Gun on my head. One in the head. Send in a clip. Baby. Baby don't trip. Just lower your tone. Cause you can get hit. It's big on that 2 MLBOA. I'll make a call in this war. Wow. I bet I kick down the door. I bet I send him to the Lord. Got a bad bitch from overseas. Got a 10 pack up in my jeans. I'm in my hand in these stores. Don't try and run up on my feet. I knock a nigga out of sleep while I'm shelling down his feet. Double G for the team. No, at least I got keys. Don't get your car switched. He's still in the cooler, he's still a Uda. He don't settle for nothing. Bluffing. Pussy boy stuff while I'm bluffing. 380 on a ruler. I know some niggas that'll shoot you for nothing. Run Ricky, yeah, he running. Run Ricky, yeah, he running. Baby, welcome to the party. I'm off the Myers in the lean. That's why I'm over retarded. Baby, welcome to the party. I hit the boy up and then I go skating a Rari. Baby, welcome to the party. Bitch, I'm a thot. Give me lit. Gun on my head. One in the head. Send in a clip. Baby. Baby, don't trip. Just lower your tone. Cause you can get hit.
If you haven't already, you really need to check out the Crummy Cookie Dough Company. They're in Uptown Waterloo, but you can get their stuff on DoorDash, Skip the Dishes, Uber Eats, and through their website at the Crummy, that's C-R-U-M-B-Y, CookieDoughCo.com. What are they? Well, it's funny you ask. They're Raw Cookie Dough Company. You could eat them raw, or you could cook them, but it's always responsible ingredients you recognize and respect. Ran by two powerful women that just love the feel of 1960s vintage and 90s hip hop is totally awesome. So cool. So go check them out. Wonderful women, and you'll love it just as much as I love it too. All right, we're back with Mr. Kamikachi Juice, Joshua Finley. And we just listened to some Pop Smoke, RIP, big tune. So, you know, we touched on, you know, you're promoting life and your brand, and but now you have a legacy to, I guess, I don't know what the correct word is. You have a legacy now, yeah. A child. I don't know what the correct terminology of that is.
No, but I actually like that. I'm going to start using that. That just sounds great.
Yeah, you have, you know, you're basically not doing this for yourself now. You're doing this for your child, who eventually will do something amazing with what you're giving to them. But your daughter is what, one or two?
Yeah, she's turns two in about 3 months.
And how's that? How's the parent life? Because eventually I will need to get some advice and all that.
It is the greatest feeling in the world, and I truly, truly, truly mean that. And I mean, while we're here on this topic, I actually have another one on the way. My fiance is 5 months pregnant right now as we speak. So
big announcement.
I'm just saying this, because I'm going to make sure my kids hear this interview later on down in life. That's the beauty of the
That's
internet.
Amazing. Well, I'm glad you dropped that on the show. That's pretty cool. And hopefully, 2031, your kids check this interview out.
They'll be able to hear it and they'll be able to, understand it, which is a great thing. So that's the beauty of this recording. It'll be up forever.
Yeah. And, what my fear is, like, when you have a child and your wife or fiance they're in the hospital and then the doctor's like, okay, time to go home. And you're like, but we don't know what to do with a baby. It's like, how'd you guys go in, like, transition?
Oh, man. It took about 3 days to even properly digest that there's another human being now in our place.
Yeah.
I remember the first night we brought her home and she was crying and I was sleeping and I kept sleeping because I thought I was dreaming. If you think about, like, you're home with whoever you live with, like, okay, so me and my fiance live together, right? It's just been us two for like 4 years. All of a sudden, overnight, there's this new human in the house crying. I remembered sleeping, and in my sleep, I thought I was dreaming. I'm like, why is there a baby crying? And I'm like sleeping and like she's nudging me. I'm like, what's happening? And like, this was the first night, and I'm like, oh my God, there's a baby. And I'm like, oh my God, it's our baby. And like, I had that moment where I was like, this is real. Like, this is real. Like, this really, there's another human that now lives in this house. And then I had to, like, that was the switch for me. That was like, all right, this is it for the rest of my life. I have to remember, like, it's no longer just me and her. There's me, her, and a baby. That's a funny story.
Was it like the next day and the day after that, was it like, did it become easier to transition to be like, okay, the doctors aren't here to help us, we got to figure it out? Like, did you guys read manuals and all this stuff?
Yeah, it was YouTube like crazy. Google, YouTube, like, you could never imagine. And then it makes you think about, like, how did our parents do it?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's true.
How did our parents, there was no phones, there was like house phones, there was no internet, there was no YouTube. I would YouTube everything. I would watch like YouTube, like parents on YouTube that like kind of vlog every day, and I would just learn, like, what do you do with a child? Like, how do you entertain them? Like, how do you, I remember, like, the first week we didn't even know where to, like, put her down. Like, we didn't even have a proper, like, infant, like, you know, like a little chair thing, like, to put her in. We didn't even think of that. And we had to order one on Amazon. We're walking around with her for the first week in our arms. We had nowhere to place her. Like, there was just so much to learn, like,
just how to swinging it.
When she's hungry, I'm like, I don't know when she's hungry. I don't understand. Is she hungry when I'm hungry? And you just feed her every 2 hours. It took 3 weeks to even like slowly get in the swing of things.
Right.
And then now she's two. Now it's just like, she's my little buddy. She's my little friend.
That's crazy though. Like, it went into like, I don't know what's going on to like, okay, I get it. But like, I wonder if it takes other people longer, you know? Is there any advice you can give new parents that come to mind?
Oh, yeah. Have patience.
Right.
Have patience and always remember that it is no longer your life anymore. Like, every decision you make, every, like, decision, whether it's, you know, you're going to stay up late or you're going to do something late at night that you know you probably shouldn't go for that drive or go to that friend's house or something might put your life in danger. You're like so more self-conscious now. Like, your life is no longer your life. You have someone who depends on you to be like their, well, even though they don't realize it, but they depend on you for everything.
I like that. And it probably takes parents a long time to figure that out as well. Well, at least men, I find. Like, the moms have that down already, you know?
It comes natural for them.
Yeah.
Men, it took me a little while to get there.
So I'm gonna ask you some rapid fire questions. And I guess your answer could be long as well. It doesn't have to be short, but give the answer that comes to mind. What is some misconceptions about Toronto people get wrong?
Well, it's okay. Let's go back to when you said everybody's an entrepreneur now.
Yeah.
Let's just go with that saying, because Toronto is full of entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
However, it could be a great thing that Toronto's full of entrepreneurs, because that just means that we're all like, there's so many more hustlers and ambitious people that want to become successful and don't want to, you know, live by the status quo. So, because I hear it all the time, like, especially when I was in the club scene, right. Like, you ask anybody, what do you do? Oh, I'm an entrepreneur. Oh, I own a business. Oh, I, like, it's like nobody works anymore.
Yeah, I know.
And that's the misconception, but it's like, maybe it's a good thing where, you know, we're just breeding more successful people within our city.
Hopefully closing down the big wig companies.
Exactly.
From 1 to 10, how much has Toronto changed since your youth? So 1 being very little, 10 being a lot.
Oh, yeah, I give it about a 9.
Damn.
Yeah, it's about a 9.
Yeah.
I've always just learned to continue, like, to adapt with the change.
If you could change one thing about Toronto, what would it be?
Oh, that's great, man. I wish Toronto had more unity, man. And it's like, I really mean that. And it's kind of it's not an impossible thing, but more unity. Like, see, like, what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
Why can't there be more of, like, more people?
It's true. I think what it is, it's social media, and they want to, like, be better than the other person, you know? And it's crazy. It's a dog-eat-dog world now. That's kind of why, like, we, you know, quick thing. It's like when you go into club, when you're a promoter and you're clubbing and all that stuff, like, you meet people, and for the most part, people seem genuine. But it's like, you, like, for me anyways, it's like I always have to have it on the back of my head. It's like, what does this person want from me?
Yeah, I know.
You have this mindset of, like, what does this... So, you know, you've been in the club industry longer. I'm sure you have that packed. Like, what does this person want from me, you know?
Yeah, and that's the worst part, because I never used to think like that. Mm. Like, that's why I said it changed so much, because, like, 15 years ago, I used to never... Like, I never thought like that. It's just more as years went on and trying to do business with certain people and being burned so many times by people that... And I'm talking like club scene, so like club owners burning me. And it's like, you're the club owner, why are you burning me? Like, why? We had an agreement, I reached my end, and then, like, they changed their end, or they changed the deal right in the moment. And it's like, you don't even have an option or like a choice to negotiate, because the club scene is like a, kind of like a, I don't want to use the word like a dark world, but it's kind of a, it's not the corporate world, let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
We're like, if they want to kick your ass and throw you on the curb, like in the movies, they can do it.
Yeah, there's no rules. There's no rules.
There's no rules. There's no union. There's no oh, but you said he, like.
Do you have any crazy club stories? Or what's one crazy story that comes to mind and still sticks out today?
A couple. But one time I was walking through Lavelle and Drake was there. And I was just going through the crowd, and I knew he was in the building, and I'm like, I didn't go up to him, and I felt like everybody's being crazy, and like, I'm just walking to the bathroom, and then like, or like through the crowd to the bar, and I bumped into him. Like, we literally, like, physically, like, bumped into each other.
Yeah.
And like, he stepped on my shoe, and like, I look up, I'm like, yo, who's this? And I look up, and it's Drake. I'm like, oh shoot. And then like, we had that moment where like, we just laughed, and it was like super random. It was Lavelle. Probably 2 summers ago. I think they were there that day shooting like Baka's music video for, I forget which song, but they were all on the Lavelle rooftop.
Right.
And Drake stepped on my shoe, and I was like, yo, you just stepped on my shoe, my guy. And like, he just laughed.
Yeah.
And like, we had a little moment, and like, people, then we ended up like dapping up each other and like, yo, how are you? How are you? And he's like, yo, I didn't even recognize you. Like, you have you're bald now. Like, you have a beard. Cause I would like frequently bump into him like every 2 to 3 years.
Right.
Always randomly. But I remember that time, and it was so funny because like, people just kind of surrounded us. And I'm like just in the middle of Lavelle talking to Drake casually.
Yeah.
And we're like laughing, and then we did the whole like dap up each other, and we just kept it moving. And it was just like, I walked away, and then everybody was like, what the heck? And then like, I was with my friend, like, yeah, like, come on, man. I'm cool with Drake. Like, I had that little moment where I was like, you know, that's just Drake to me.
Yeah, of course. That's cool. Yeah. That's a cool story. Guilty pleasure.
Red wine, chocolate almonds. That's my guilty pleasure. Uber Eats pizza. Gotta stop it.
I keep trying
to find the best pizza in Toronto.
I feel like
I'm not talking no pizza stuff.
Yeah,
I'm talking
I know.
proper, like you
mom and pa's type of joints. Yeah.
The local pizza spots.
Who would you like to play you in a movie?
Michael B. Jordan.
Good choice.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, because I recently just watched the Rocky movie.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Creed 2. I recently just watched it on Disney, I think on Netflix.
It's amazing. Favorite TV show?
I'm going to go with The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, even though it's old, but...
Hey, it's a classic.
Yeah, any chance I can get to watch it. They just removed it off Netflix, but...
You gotta get Crave. They have their reunion on there. It made me cry.
I heard. You're a few people told me that. I've heard.
It's really good. It's really good. Favorite underrated spot in Toronto, whether it be a park, restaurant, cafe.
That's great. Okay, so there's this little spot by the airport called JP's Bar and Grill.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to this, okay, they have like the best chicken wings and fries. I go maybe once every 3 or 4 months because I live downtown and my mom lives in Mississauga. So I drive basically like across the city. And once in a while, because of COVID, you know, they weren't open for a while, but I heard they're back open. Yeah. Me and my guy friends get together usually back, you know, it just sucks. A year ago, we used to watch the Raptor games. He's Bar and Grill. And it's like I wouldn't call it a hole in the wall, but it's a very small place. Nothing fancy, you know, literally like it's like a trucker stop. Hidden, but it's like the best, like the biggest jumbo wings, the best fries. And like they do like seafood on Mondays where they call seafood Mondays. And everything is like 10, 15 bucks price point. Massive plate of food. Like two people can eat.
This is why it's like for the people out there, they got to check out their mom and pa's because you don't know, you're probably missing one of the best wings out there. You're going to all these wing places that are well established.
Yeah. And you get four wings and you go in these small spots, you're getting like 9-10 jumbo chicken wings, super sauced up. They don't rush it. Like they have their own like secret JP sauce. Man, I miss it because I haven't been there in a few months, but
yeah.
Pre-COVID, I was there almost every Raptor game. We used to go there and like me and like 6-7 friends, we'd go there and have wings and watch the Raptor game.
I got to check it out. I do love me some wings.
Yeah.
Lastly, where will you be in 10 years or what will you want to be doing?
10 years. I want to be a top earner in many fields. Like I recently just started a new career in luxury car sales.
Nice. Like I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. 1 week ago, I just started working at Lexus in Richmond Hill. So I'm fairly new. So like, I think this is great because 10 years from now, I would love to hear back this interview. you know, I want to be the top earner in that business industry. Yeah. I want to start dabbling into real estate and, you know, investing and maybe get a real estate license. Like I'm trying to do it all.
Yeah.
Real estate, cars.
The key word here is adapting, and that's what you're doing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure.
Last song, what would you like it to be?
Jack Harlow, What's Poppin'?
And before we fade to darkness, or actually lightness, be more positive in here.
Yeah.
Is there anything you'd like to pitch to the people, throw to the people? Anything you want to put your social media advice, anything, what would you like it to be?
Of course. Somebody asked me today, how do I stay motivated in anything and everything? So like literally somebody just today, and I told them, you got to just surround yourself with positive individuals and positive. And again, because it's COVID, I don't mean physically surround yourself, but like right now, how we're talking, we're having a conversation. You and I, we talk to each other once in a while. We DM each other. We've always had positive conversations.
Right.
You know, surrounding yourself with people who uplift you, people who believe in you, and you know, just having a positive mental attitude each and every day, even when you're going through rough times or really bad, extreme things are happening in your life. Still understand that there's light at the end of the tunnel. Because I mean, maybe one day we can do a part two, but I've had some crazy rough times in life, and I'm sure you have, and we all have. And I've always just learn to have the positive mindset that this is not the end. It's only the end when you quit, when you give up.
It's my city and state, never ever seen this. Jimmy Neutron, I'm a young boy genius. On a futon, I'ma give it that penis. When it's just done, I'ma fill up arenas. Ooh, like Gilbert Arenas. Shoot my shot, I'm still with the demons. Ooh, I keep it thorough. I got 5 chicks in New York, that means one in each borough. I'm in the pocket like Burrow. When I'm back home, no, they treat me like Robert De Niro. Took her to Taco Bell, bought her a churro. Took her home, gave her a cinnamon swirl. I left it in, now I got a 1 euro. Zeros on zeros on zeros. That's what my bank account balance say. I got a check from a shoe company, now I do anything a New Balance say. I bought her a plane ticket out of state. I got me a shorty from Runaway. Said I'm in town today. She said she coming over and she down to stay. I got a hit, she been playing that shit. So when she pull up on me, I know what she about to say.
What's poppin'? Brand new whip, just hopped in. I got options. I can pass that bitch like Stockton. Just joshing. I'ma spend this holiday locked in. My body got rid of them toxins. Let me go. Sports in the top 10.
Calling my bitch, tell her bring me that noggin. Brain real good, she a scholar. I like a thing with low mileage, good brain with no college. Call me the baby, no Tyler. I'm real creative and stylish. F in my denim. I send that hit, make him spin him. And I just flew back from LA on the jet yesterday. I go back and forth like I play tennis. I fuck with your hoe, yeah, I feel for it. Still on the billboard, the number one song in UK. And now they got so fucking rich, all these hoes on my dick. I still don't give a fuck what you say. She eat it like a Pac-Man, nigga. Whoop a nigga like I'm Batman, nigga. I just put up in the Batmobile. The reason I ain't fucking with these rap ass niggas, cause they cap ass niggas and they raps ain't real. Believe me, you wanna keep your life and take it easy. I'm rocking water diamonds, need a squeegee. These niggas water down, they drinking Fiji. My whip is orange and brown like I'm in Cleveland. My bitch is mellow yellow like a soda. These niggas title tellers, I'm a soldier.
Hey, somebody tell them niggas that it's over.
You know it's baby, nigga.
What's poppin'? Brand new whip, just hopped in. I got options. I can pass that bitch like Stockton.
Hop on that scat and I caught her. I'm out here with somebody's daughter. She calling me daddy. I'm somebody's father. I gotta go diss it. I went, I go kiss it. I put my lips on it like somebody watered it. Diamond in the glacier. The card in the wallet. She put up to fuck me, but nobody caught it. She told me that she wasn't feeling my music. I fucked it. She told me it's nobody harder. And I'm with the G ski. I need that shit for the free ski. We are not buying no pussy. You selling on P Street. It's so much work on my celly. I had to go tell all my bitches. Email it to reach me. All in my DM. I'll follow your BM. She played with the crow ski. We used to fuck on the low ski. She used to lie on my bed and go lie to your face and say I'm just a bro. Nigga, you knows me. You ain't believe it. You wanted to toast me. I had it standing as long as a ruler in case you was cooling and wanna approach me. Dropped the Bentayga, came back in the Cullen and she wanna fuck again. I want that tongue again. Stuck it so deep that she cough up a lung again. 5-star bitches, they on the run again. Run again. Running in diamonds, they illuminating the way that I come again. I just put so many pennies on the watch and I don't never got a stun again. Nigga, Latour.
What's poppin'? Canada. Brand new whip, just hopped in. I got options. I can pass that bitch like Stockton. Just joshing. I'm spending this holiday locked in. My body got rid of them toxins. Sports in the top 10.
What's brackin'? Brand new whip, new mansion. Brand new tips, new dances. Same old dick, new magnums. Same old shit, new maggots. Same old throne, new dragons. Same old strong, new ashes. I can pass that bit like magic. Yeah, I ain't capping, I'm lit, I'm active. Yeah, look, 5 in that bit like Paxton. Yeah, I'm drowning this milk like Applejack. I sell a bitch, dream, put tax on that. Look, slime that bit, that slap a slap. Yeah, bomb press roll, that's black on black. Yeah, 9-9 problems, the bitch ain't one yet. Numbers don't lie, it's the aftermath. Yeah, what's poppin'? Brand new phone, just dropped it. Fuck it, I got options. I bust down a couple Apple Watches. Hello. I can put the ball in the end zone. Put a bad bitch in her friend zone. Ooh, ooh, I'ma bust all in the skin tone. I be messed up as Ken Jeong. Ooh, ooh, dark hair bitch like she go. I like I'm blind like me though. Yeah. Although I'm dying called Leon. I was still slide like Neo. Keep all around my pre-roll. Yeah. New Orleans nigga, I'm Creole. She say, babe, does that hurt when I deep throw? I just back now for your T-ho.
What's poppin'? Brand new whip, just hopped in. I got options. I can pass that bitch like Stockton. Just joshing. I'm spending this holiday locked in. My body got rid of them toxins. Sports in the top 10.
This show is sponsored by the Crummy Cookie Dough Company, top notch humans making top notch edible cookie dough.
Oh. Southwest, look. I eat beats, watch me dining, shining. I illuminate the rooms that I'm in. Timing, low-key ain't more crucial than alignment. That's why the flow is intertwined with both and I'm defiling. Every beat I'm on, even though I know it's wrong to treat rappers like a napkin after I pissed on commodes. Then I wipe us on the toilet, can't decipher if you know that my life is tied to giving hoodlums life despite the holes that their sights are fixed upon and give them pipe out of control. But the plight we're abiding has almost wiped our frontal lobe of our heritage. Rare kids like me who grew up savage, they got embarrassed when they went to their partner crib and seen their mattress had a bed frame. Shout out to those who told me Tobit was a pet name. Tobit Chuku Dubem Wikwe is my correct name. Praise God for follies of my colleagues that embody everything I overcame, blowing that ganji to suppress pain. Oh,
but I was weak though. So on occasion, purple haze would keep me warmer than a pea coat. Debo, shouldn't be what you portray when you placebo. But now my flow to cheat code, every bar is worth a kilo, ooh. Every bar is worth a kilo, ooh. Every bar is worth a kilo, ooh. Tobe Chuku do Ben Wigwe is my correct name.
Yeah, yeah, look, hit the ground running like a halfback. Okay. Mad black, P365 in my NASCAR.
Okay.
Blast that, all who tried to harm me, I don't scratch.
Okay.
I dropped two kids and I still snap back. Yeah, had to have these girls don't think my pen dead. Hard to sleep on me like a twin bed. Was broke, now I ball like a skinhead. You only get one shot, that's what Slim said. Anything that gave way to poverty. You could tell I move with sovereignty. Obviously, I'm an anomaly. Every bar I speak is novelty. We don't ride the wave, we create it. This how we made it to Beyonce playlist. Toby used to have some open cases. But now we got a crib with open spaces. And I got a crib with open faces. Fuck on basic. Been influenced by the city with the spacious. Never going back to the gracious.
With the flow, doing grind. Okay. Walk through the bubble, quaggy on your head is what my mom say.
Yeah.
Gorilla on the beat, I go Harambe.
Yeah.
Stacey Adams head to toe on my prime day.
Yeah.
Two kids, light wilder than Deontay.
Yeah.
Why down trying to get a verse from my train?
Yeah.
Coach Bombay, I done been with Mighty Ducks.
Yeah.
But my baby mama swan, Aphrodite Ducks.
Yeah.
If it's an issue, pack a pistol, keep it tightly tucked.
Yeah.
Cause they'll try to early dismiss you on your nightly run.
Yeah.
Either way, it's tragedy.
Yeah.
Please don't try to take my life. That's a catastrophe.
Yeah.
On my soul, ain't no hoe in my anatomy.
Yeah.
And I put that on everything like Tony Sasher.
Yeah.